Welcome to City on a Hill's podcast. This week's podcast can be downloaded on iTunes or our media library at chccny.com.
You know, I'm always interested in trying to take hard, difficult topics, and, you know, sometimes they can be a little awkward in talking about them, and trying to, you know, present them in creative ways. Well, here we are for a new series, Forgotten God, Holy Spirit. You excited? How many of you are excited about this new series?
Yeah,
kind of excited. A lot of you were excited about David. I don't feel the same sense of excitement, but that's okay. Anxiety, a lot of people are filling the house, interested in the topic. This is one that I wrestled with. I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to feel where people are at, the temperature of the church, and where they are on this topic. Now, I stole the title for the series. I'm not following the book at all. I have one quote from the book that I thought was magnificent. A guy named Francis Chan, an amazing Christian leader, that was the title of his book about the Holy Spirit that he wrote some years ago, and I just loved it. There are other books that I would put out there that I've read and reread over the past couple of weeks in preparing for this. There's a pastor in one of the biggest churches in America. His name is Robert Morris. He has another wonderful book called The God I Never Knew. Great title when talking about the Holy Spirit. And then A.W. Tozer, who was a Christian from the 20th century, died in 1964. Pastor Linda, you know, I don't know, exposed me to him, I don't know, 25 years ago. And somebody that if you want to learn, I mean, pretty deep, but he's got so many wonderful books and so many great things to say. So you're going to hear me quote him a little bit. And I'm going to start this way on the topic. Where is my phone? There is my phone. Does anybody have, I don't have the latest iPhone. Does anybody have the iPhone 10? Anybody have the iPhone 10 in the congregation? Nobody in here has the iPhone 10. You're ruining my illustrations, crushing my dreams. Nobody does. All right, let's imagine. Does anybody have an iPhone? You have an iPhone. Let's imagine that you have the iPhone 10. Can you go with me? All right, so this is what I looked up in case you want to know some of the amazing things that our phones can actually do today. So if you have, what do I have, babe? I don't even know what this is. 7, 8, I don't know, whatever. It's one of those. And, you know, I felt bad about myself that I didn't have the latest iPhone when I read some of these things that the iPhone 10 can do. You want to hear this? An edge-to-edge OLED Super Retina display. Face ID recognition. The phone unlocks just looking at my ugly face. Thought that was kind of interesting. Wireless inductive charging. Yeah, I think I'm into that. A significantly faster custom A11 Bionic processor chip. What the heck does that mean, Bionic? That's a little scary to me. All right, the technology is out of control. Do you sit there and think about what you can do today that you couldn't do maybe years ago and how far technology has come? Do you think about that a lot? No, you don't. No, you don't. All right, let me show you what I brought in today. How many people know what this is before I even pull it out? What is this? What? It's not a camcorder. It's a phone, but what kind of phone is this? I got this on eBay. This is an original bag phone. The lengths a preacher will go. Can you get shipping by Friday so I can use it for my sermon on Sunday? Yeah, I had to pay a little extra for shipping. But this is, babe, help me out here. You're not going to, it doesn't look clean, but it probably is. Well, that's what I thought of when I opened the case. This is some used person's phone that I had to sanitize the outside of the bag. I didn't sanitize the phone. Pray for me. So this is a Motorola bag phone. How many of you saw the show? Zach Morris. His was bigger, but I'm still trying to relate the topic to the people. All right, this is the bag phone, right? And if you were born after the early 1980s, you don't remember any of this, but like they used to have this. Feel how heavy this thing is. Feel how heavy that is, right? We have a little phone that we put in our pocket, all right? And I want you to feel this. Feel how heavy that is. That's heavy. Walking around with this, you're going to go somewhere. Feel this. You're going to go out somewhere. That's kind of heavy to walk around with a bag phone. But this is what people used to use. And what did they charge you? It was like $100 a minute. You're going to, listen, don't use this. It's like, you know, breaking the glass. Don't use this thing unless it's an emergency. Unless your life is on the line because it's going to cost you a mortgage payment to have a conversation with somebody. Right? The bag phone. Now, I want you to imagine this. Imagine it's today. And imagine that we're having a conversation with each other. And we're just kind of talking, and you have your regular phone, and then all of a sudden next to me, I'm just kind of sitting down, and the phone rings. Ba-da-ling, ba-da-da-ling. It's the bag phone that rings. And I open up the case, and I pull out the phone, and I start talking. It's my wife. Hey, babe. How you doing? That'd be great. Coming home soon. Yep, 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 yep. And you're looking at me like, is he crazy? He's using a bag phone? You would say when I got off the phone, what's wrong with you? There's new technology that is out today. There's a new phone. And you would tell me about the iPhone. And you would tell me all the wonderful things that it could do. And you would say, you need to get an update or an upgrade, right? Does anybody see where I'm taking this? Ooh. I'm here to tell you this morning at the outset of this series that sometimes we as believers walk around with an old, archaic, limited understanding of who God is in our lives. And we're walking around with a bag phone when God says, I'm here to tell you that an update's available for you in your life. And the only way you can experience the update is through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Come on! That was a good illustration. Thought hard about that. I have to think, you know, listen, I get embarrassed sometimes how hard I have to work to come up with sermons. It's not easy. It's hard work. It's fun, but it's hard. I'm not looking for you to say that. I'm just saying it's funny. So listen, we're walking around, many of us, with an old way of thinking, and we're saying to ourselves, listen, I just want to make sure I get into heaven when I die. Dallas Willard, a philosopher and a theologian, called it barcode Christianity. What do I have to do to get over the line to make sure I'm in heaven with the rest of you Christians? What do I have to do with my life? And many of us are walking around with that kind of notion or that understanding. Hey, you know, I'll go to church. Maybe I'll even go to a Hill House. But for the most part, I just want fire insurance. I want hell insurance. At the end of the day, that's kind of what I want. And we turn our lives over to the Lord and we say, yeah, I'm all in. I'm in on this. But then something is lost. How come so many Christians, I could go around the room and hear, how come so many Christians across this country are looking at their Christianity and looking at their relationship with God and saying, I'm left wanting. There has to be more for me. What I'm experiencing of God is not really help. It's not getting me where I want to be. It's not getting me where I need to be. There's more for us. There's more power that is available for every single Christian. Can I give you one more little illustration? I was flying a lot the last 2 weeks. And you know when you get on the plane, right? And you get on that plane. And what do they tell you right before you're going to take off? You have one of the flight attendants. They will get on there and they would say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking off soon and we'll be departing. And we need you to turn off all your electronic devices. If you have a phone, this is the time now to put it on airplane mode. There you are, right? You take your phone out and you put it on airplane mode. And I'm thinking, how many of us Christians are kind of living in spiritual airplane mode? Do you understand with this phone, when you put your phone on airplane mode, you can't send messages out and no messages can come back in. The only communication you can have is whatever is on the hard drive of this phone. And for many of us,
we are not having the connection that we want with the Holy Spirit, with God Himself, because we have turned something off and we're in spiritual airplane mode and we're saying to ourselves, yeah, it's okay. I know where my destiny is. I know I'm going to be in heaven one day. Yeah, you know what? But for now, whatever. I don't need the power. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we need the power of the Holy Spirit like we have never needed Him before. And in order for people in this world, let's just say it like it is at the outset, in order for other people that are very skeptical, I sat on the plane, and this is like one of those things, and this is going to be a series, I'm just kind of moving and shaking. Is that all right? Yeah. I'm on a plane with some guy, and I wasn't with Megan on this flight, and I'm sitting on a plane next to a guy, and I have work to do. I have to preach about the Holy Spirit. And the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you, you need to listen, right? So there I am. I didn't want to talk to him. God was, I felt in my spirit, you're to talk to this guy. But I have work to do, God. I have work to do for you. I have a sermon to put together. I have to preach when I get back. Who's going to preach this sermon? Who? Is somebody else going to do it? Pastor Linda doesn't want to do it. So I'm going to have to be the one to do it. I'm just kidding. But there I was, and I'm sitting next to the guy, and it was like, we have moments every single day in listening to the Spirit and what He's saying to us and what we're supposed to do. And I kind of just put myself down. I've shared this with you before, but there are two conversations that I can have when I'm sitting on an airplane or anywhere with somebody I don't know. And the question comes up, what do you do for a living? Because if I want the conversation usually to be really short, I'm a preacher. You're a preacher. Great. All right. I'm with a 20-something-year-old guy. If I want the longer conversation, I'll say I'm a high school teacher. Oh, that's a little more interesting. I took that route, and it landed me in the longer conversation anyway. I told him I was the preacher, and it landed me in the longer conversation because he had a million different questions, and we're having an existential conversation, and I'm trying to ask him questions. I love this stuff because I'm asking him questions he's probably never asked before, and we're going over some really cool stuff. And I said to him, 3 hours. 3 hours. 3 hour conversation. And I said, I could have sat there to myself because so many times in life I miss the Spirit and I miss when I'm supposed to be listening and I'm distracted and I don't hear well sometimes, but I got it this time. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. And afterwards, I'm like, you know what? What do I care? The point of life is how to be led by the Spirit from moment to moment in things that I do, everywhere that I go. And I'm way off topic right now, but that's really what it's all about. Right? Where was I before? Airplane mode, something like that. Here's a quote. This is the only thing I'm using from Francis Chan's actual book. Again, it's a great book. If you want to check it out and read it, I don't agree in every which way with his theology, but pretty cool. And I'm going to talk about him and how his theology has changed since he wrote the book, which is kind of cool. And here's a quote that just arrested me. From my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes, forgotten. While no Christian would deny His existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced His presence or action in their lives over the past year. Wow. You think about that for a second. Let that sink in. And many of them do not believe they can. The benchmark of success in church services has become more about attendance than the movement of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let me tell you something. You go somewhere and you're with a group of pastors. Pastor Linda, right? What is one of the first questions? How big is your church? As if size of the congregation equates to success and a move of the power of God, the Spirit of God. No. That's not the case. And if I was Satan, I love this, and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. And friends, this is happening across America and in some places in the world. I read story after story of places in other parts of the world, and there were stories I was reading in China that were mind-boggling. And there was a guy from China that was leading an underground church over there. I don't remember exactly the city, but he came to America and he was appalled at the state of where we were at, spiritually speaking, as a church. And all the amenities, all the things that we have. And he looked at it. Where is the hunger? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit? Where is that? Because I know I see it where I am. Where is that today? How many of you want more power in your life? Amen. More power.
A.W. Tozer, this is what he said. I mean, wow. In most Christian churches, the Spirit is quite entirely overlooked. Whether he is present or absent makes no real difference to anyone. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, I mean, this is, wow, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. Remember, he died in 1964. He wrote this in like the 1950s. And wow, if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, I love this, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. You see, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the New Testament, they changed the world. They turned it upside down. Today in our culture, we have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of Christian merchandise. We have the cool tattoos and the cool t-shirts and the cool jewelry. And who could forget those corny bumper stickers, right? We have all this great stuff. We have all this material. And it would look to, people that, man, we have it all together and we have the real power. But I would say, when you look at this, there is something that is lacking. Many of us are left wanting more. We want more of the Spirit. We want more power in our lives. We come to Christianity, right? And you become a Christian. I see so many people that are on fire for God and there's a spark that's there. Right? But maybe you put a little kindling on, you go to church on Sunday, but there is more that is needed. There is more kindling that can be thrown on there. There's more power that we're leaving at the table. We're just leaving it there as sons and daughters of God, according to his covenant, according to what he wants to give us, according to what he promised us. We're not living at our fullest potential. It's sad. We're not. We can. That's the good news. It's not too late for us. We can, and Lord willing, we will. You know, I used to hear like the Holy Spirit was like the gas in your car, right? How many of you? He's the gas in your car. You're the vehicle, and he's the gas pump, you know, and he gives you his power, and he injects that power into your life, into that vehicle, and you could do. He is less like the gas that goes into a car, and he is more like the air that we breathe. He is more like the air that we breathe, because without the air, we can't live. And everywhere we go, we need to be empowered by his Spirit and breathe in his life, breathe in, exhale out, breathe in, and understand he is with us every step of the way, everywhere we go. And here are three things I want to share with you. I'm going slow on this. I'm keeping this pretty simple today, because it can be a difficult topic. And the first thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a person. Yes, when you look at, in Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach. And that word ruach, it connotes a violent wind. You don't want to, I'm telling you, next week, I'm going to lay out what really happened at Pentecost that you don't really read in your Bibles, and take it all the way back to Genesis 1. And when you see what it means in Greek and you look at it in Hebrew, it's pretty powerful. Anyway, ruach is the word for spirit, right? In the Old Testament Hebrew. And that means a violent wind. In the New Testament, in Greek, the word spirit means pneuma. And pneuma is breath. It's breath. Yes, yes, God is, the Holy Spirit is breath, but that's not, no. Yes, the Holy Spirit is wind, but that is pointing to the fact that he is a person, a real, living person. But what have we done? You know what we've done in the church? We have made the Holy Spirit more like a force, an impersonal force. And we have entire theological systems that have relegated the Holy Spirit to a force and not a person. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You understand that? See that? All right, let me take it a little bit. I'll give you an illustration. When I was in Disney World, for the 100th time, Megan claps, gives it a little clap. I said, Lord, at least give me a sermon illustration or two that I can use. If I'm going to suffer, right, in this human trap run by a mouse, please give me at least one really good sermon illustration. So I'm sitting there thinking, the boys went to, my brother-in-law is a huge Star Wars fan. Huge. Any of you big Star Wars fans? Big? All right. You know, Lord of the Rings, I know, we all think is the greatest. And then Star Wars is kind of down here. And then the other, what's the other one that people, Harry Potter and all that stuff. but that's of the devil, so you can't really look at all that stuff. I had to say it. I don't know. That's you don't. I know it's kind of weird, but people, I know, not me, not you, right? Are you judging me that I said that? Yeah. So you have Star Wars, and at one of these places, where was I? I don't even know the names of the places I go to anymore. I'm Hollywood Studios. You impressed? So we went to Hollywood, and there was this Star Wars thing. Now, I get up in the morning, I'm feeding Nolan, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm hanging out, which, by the way, I got in trouble for that, too. You yelled at me for that. I was singing too loud in the hotel room. Really? Reading my Bible, singing to everyone wanted to hear me sing. The people that were outside in other rooms, they wanted to hear me sing. You didn't want to hear me sing. Do you want to hear me sing? No, you don't. So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they run in the park. It opens at like 9. They sprint in the park, and they sprint to this Star Wars experience, this kind of thing that you like become like a Jedi, right? And you do Jedi training. You know, did you do this? You did this before? When you were younger? Episode 3. I'm lost already. I don't know all the episodes, so that's cool. Episode 3. Is that the one where, I don't know. Wait. Let's just pipe down. Take it easy. Going off topic now. Unless you want to preach? Oh, okay. So, in the illustration, so these guys run to this ride and they sign up for it and they get it. And then long story short, the kids do it and they get the little outfit on. And then only Disney can do this. They have a guy that comes out and he's dressed like Darth Vader. Is it safe to go ahead with this? Looking around the room? You know what I'm talking about? Safe. Yeah. You know, all right, safe. Not theologically. I'm talking about kids. I'm going, is it safe? So Darth Vader, he's like 7 feet tall. I'm afraid of the guy when he comes out. These doors open up, and this guy walks, dun, 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 dun. And they teach the kids how to defeat Darth Vader. And dun, 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 and they have their lightsabers, and they all kind of win. But then at the end, it was all these kids that were in this group. All right, kids, put your hands forward. Use the Force. And like these doors open. I wanted to be like, this is nonsense. The Force is some metaphysical, I don't know, weird thing in this fictional world. It's not real. And kids, don't you go believing that's like the Holy Spirit when you get older. If you're Christians, I'm in the Bible Belt now, and I bet a lot of you are Christians. That's not real. I didn't say any of that, but I wanted to kind of say something along those lines, right? But here's what I was thinking about. That's how we've kind of, like these kids, like the Holy Spirit is like this impersonal force that exists in the world. And we call upon this force when we're in trouble, when we're in crisis, when we're in need. And that is not a biblical understanding of the Trinity and of who the Holy Spirit is. He is a person. A person. And he has personhood, which means he has, if I go in the audience, Dana, I'll just use you. No, I'm not going to use you because I just said your name. No, don't, just let me look around here. No, I know everybody. Hey, what's up? What's your name?
Gabe.
Are you a real person, Gabe? Have we ever met before? Jaden, have I ever met him? I'm going to take his word for it that you're a real person. Gabe is a real person. If Gabe is a real person, that means he has three things. That means he has a mind. That means he has a will. And that means he has emotions. Do you understand that? He has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. To show you in Scripture what it says about who the Holy Spirit is and the Trinity is, you have to understand, don't make the Holy Spirit to be this impersonal force that exists, this nebulous, ethereal force that exists in the universe. That's not true. He's real. And look at number one. If we look at Scripture, I'm going to go a little heavy on Scripture now. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And God knows everything. God knows everything, not some things, not everything. He has a mind. The Holy Spirit, he has a mind. Do you ever think what the Holy Spirit's IQ is? I was thinking that on the plane. This is stuff preachers just kind of think about, and that just stands for intelligence quotient, and quotient is just like, right, a formula that we use to measure something. He doesn't have an IQ. He has a lot of I, has a lot of intelligence. The Holy Spirit knows everything. Did you hear me?
Try to wrap your mind around that. The Holy Spirit knows everything, not some things. He knows everything. And look what it says on staying on the mind, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You look at the Trinity, Christ, when he was on the earth, he had a mind, the most wonderful mind that the world has ever seen. He had a mind that you look at the Holy Spirit. He has a mind. He thinks. You go from there, and then you can even look at emotions. How about looking at emotions? Go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Just like we have emotions, the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be grieved because of how we act, and maybe we fall into sin. Joy is something, all of these emotions we have to see are present within the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. If I'm talking to this stand right here, that would be kind of weird. This is a thing. If you go outside and look at a tree, despite what certain organizations will tell you, no tree can love you back. That tree cannot love you back. We are people, we have a mind, we have a will, we have emotions, just like the Trinity, just like the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite movies, and we're using it kind of as a theme for birthday. How many of you seen Inside Out? You seen that movie? Isn't that a fabulous movie? When you look at all the emotions that are on the inside of this little girl, if you've never seen it before, you need to see it. It's a very deep movie. I was hoping one day Pastor Linda would kind of use the psychology background that she has and weave a pretty cool sermon and looking at the characters. That's something to throw on your plate. Maybe you want to do that in the future. That would be kind of cool. Wouldn't that be fun? No. All right. Let's just pretend. And then how about this? The Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. And you look at this in 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them gifts to each one, just as he determines. We are given gifts by the Holy Spirit. He determines, he wills what he wants to give, what he wants to allocate, what he wants to give each person. That's up to him. He is not an impersonal force in the universe. We have God living on the inside of us. And if we do, how come we don't ask him more questions about things that are going on in our lives? I'm not just talking about when a crisis hits. I'm talking about regular situations. Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Are my kids supposed to be hanging out with this kid or that kid? Am I supposed to take this job or that job? It's not weird to hear from God. It's weird not to hear from God. And somewhere along the lines, we as Christians have gotten this idea that it is weird to hear from God and that the Holy Spirit is weird. He's not weird. That's number two. He is wild, but he is not weird. He's wild, but he's not weird. And you know what's crazy? You meet people. I'm a pastor's kid. Do you know how many crazy people I have met in my life? I could give you story upon story, but I don't want to bore you with people. And they talked about the Holy Spirit. Listen, they were weird. The Holy Spirit wasn't weird. If they didn't have the Holy Spirit, they would be weird. You hear what I'm saying? I'm preaching the truth to you because that's true. We somehow, along the lines of time too, have met people and we've seen the gospel portrayed in a certain way, and we've seen the Holy Spirit portrayed in a certain way that is not biblical at times. And people go, and maybe even people that aren't Christians, they go, I want no part of that. Don't take me to a church where people raise their hands where they sing. Don't take me to a church where the preacher is going to lay his hands on people. Don't take me to a church where people are going to pray in the Spirit. Don't take me to a church where this is going to happen. And the enemy sits back and laughs, and he loves it because he uses all of his wild and crazy stuff. You know what some denominations have relegated the Holy Spirit to? The crazy uncle. The crazy uncle that you see on Thanksgiving every few years, and you hope he really doesn't show up, because when he comes and sits down at the table, he offends people and he's appalling. In certain denominations, that's what they think sometimes of the Holy Spirit. And they say, you know what, maybe if we just ignore him and don't send him any Christmas cards and kind of just leave him out of our services, maybe he'll leave us alone. We believe in him, but maybe he'll just leave us alone. It's not right. The Holy Spirit is grieved by the fact that we don't look to him for all he has for us and all the power. How many of you are going to leave this place realizing that God resides inside of you? You know what the picture was? And this is not my parents' fault. This is nobody's fault that taught me. But when I was younger, I'm sorry to use another Disney illustration, but I used to kind of look at the Holy Spirit kind of like, this is embarrassing. I've never said this to you before. And she's going like this. She's like, bring it, loving this, Tinkerbell. I used to kind of look at like, I knew Jesus was in my heart. And like fluttering around like Tinkerbell, like kind of fluttering around. And I'm like, woo, I got Jesus in my heart. Got Jesus in my heart. And it's like, no. I have the Holy Spirit in my life. And he is living in my life and filling my life from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and wants to dwell in every single cell, in every single muscle, in every single bone, in all marrow, in every organ of my body. And he wants all of me. He doesn't want some of us. He wants all of us. And he's not, again, weird. But A.W. Tozer, I love this. This is another fabulous point he brings out in one of his books about the Holy Spirit. He talks about a scarecrow, right? What is a scarecrow used for? What's a scarecrow used for? Scares the crows. Very good. You're really smart. Really wicked smart. Really smart. And interesting, because he used this illustration about a scarecrow that, like, we put in a field to keep all the crows away, keep the birds away, protect the crops, right? And he said this. This is the line he said. He said, the enemy has taken some fanatical, weird, wild-eyed Christians who do things that they shouldn't, and he has stationed them in the middle of God's cornfield and warns, now don't you go near that doctrine about the Holy Spirit, because if you do, you will act just like these wild-eyed fanatics. He has taken people. I don't go after people on Facebook, but last night I'm preaching about the Holy Spirit, and I'm preaching right now about this, about how sometimes things can be misconstrued and how the Holy Spirit gets a bad rap because of some of the crazy stuff that happens in this world. And some guy, a former student, again, do I ever go after people on social media? Never. He posted a picture about somebody. I'm not going to give you the guy's name, and he's not even a pastor anymore. He's one of these TV evangelists. And it was a posting, and it was a disparaging posting. It was a negative post, but it kind of hit all of Christianity. And I wrote something. I'm like, don't you associate what this guy does with the rest of Christianity and all the other pastors across America that are faithfully serving God in their community. Don't you do that. Not on my watch, because I'll go after you, and I bet other people will, too. The Holy Spirit is not weird. But the enemy is so good and tactical, and he uses stealth, and he has taken myriads of people away from Christ because they've entered a church or they've seen something of the Holy Spirit and said, I don't want any part of that. And you can't tell me, listen, the powers, the spiritual warfare that's going on right now, you can't tell me people didn't see the topic if they have a phone and they said, the Holy Spirit, really? Do I want to go to it and listen to a sermon about the Holy Spirit? Do I want to hear this? How is this relevant to my life today? This topic could not be any more relevant to your life today. You have issues. This is more relevant than me talking about anxiety, talking about your fear, because when you have the Holy Spirit and you understand who lives in your life and how powerful you are, the power that you wield, you realize that all the enemy's tactics and all of his strategies and everything that you encounter is no match for the God that lives on the inside of you. No match. Amen. You look on the borders of Christianity. I don't know. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and we can't let excess lock us into a horizontal, anti-supernatural, safe Christianity. It's safe. Our Christianity, we keep things safe. And this, I'm preaching to myself. This is going to be one of the hardest topics for me to go the distance on as a preacher and take this, because a lot of times I can live out of my head, and I'd rather at times hang out with the intellects over here. And I'm not saying, listen, there are a lot of intellects on both sides of the spectrum, both sides, everywhere. But this is one of the most contentious issues in the body of Christ. And I have to tell you, it grieves God that there is so much dysfunction and there's so much disunity on this topic, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. And we are a church. Listen, I'm not here. I'm not disparaging people in this series. People that don't look at things maybe the way we look at them. Nobody's a second-class citizen. And that's what you hear in too many churches. You don't believe the way we do. You're a second-class citizen. I can tell you what the Bible says, and then you can just make your own opinion off that. We can have a conversation about that. But I'm here to tell you in this series, there is a power that is available for you in your life. And the Holy Spirit, listen, number three, He is not an app that you add on to your Christian life. The Holy Spirit is not an app that you add on. He's the operating system. The Holy Spirit is the operating system in the life of a Christian. In the life of a believer, He is the whole enchilada. He is the operating system. He's not something that we add on. Can I give you one more A.W. Tozer quote? Thank you, because I don't care if you want it or not. Oops, giving it to you. The Holy Spirit is not a luxury, not something added now and again to produce a deluxe type of Christian once in a generation. No, He is for every child of God a vital necessity, and that He fill and indwell His people is more than a passing hope. It is rather an inescapable imperative. Come on! And then I'll go backwards. You look at 1 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul, look what he says, and it's so, it was with me, brothers and sisters, and he wrote to the Corinthians, they were a messed up group of people. I mean, you want to talk about messed up. If we had some time to talk, we've already, Tom and I preached through this book, 1 Corinthians, but suffice it to say, they were pretty messed up. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. When He spoke, He's saying, listen, He was well-schooled, He was a really bright guy, had amazing intellect, but He's saying, listen, at the end of the day, it wasn't about all that. It was about a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And at times, too, I'm embarrassed to even say this to you as a preacher. When I first started preaching, I used to kind of think, you know what? Like, you get up and you ask, Holy Spirit, let's go, you know, fire me up, you know, speak through me. And then maybe at the end of the sermon, as we close things out, you know, Holy Spirit, please, we need you right now before we go into prayer. And it's kind of like, I'm thinking about it a week and I'm going, how messed up my theology was to not realize that the Holy Spirit is something I have to be relying on the whole time, and nothing good will ever come out of my preaching apart from the power of the Holy Spirit up here. You realize that? I realize that. And I don't even really stress as much about it. I used to, but I don't really anymore. And I get things ready, and sometimes I feel more ready, or I feel more power, I guess, even before I walk into the pulpit. But at times I go, listen, Lord, all I can do is pray, and all I can do is prepare. At the end of the day, it's Your power. It's what You want to do, and You have to speak and live through me. I try to be an open vessel when I'm up here, and if You're telling me to do something, I try to listen to that. But at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And we desperately need His power. And again, as Tozer said, it's not a luxury. It's the engine by which anything good is going to happen. And I'm not listen, the Holy Spirit, it's more than goosebumps. Did you hear the song Megan sang today? Pushing back the darkness, you will overcome. Sing, what are the other words, baby? Give me some of the lyrics. Help me out. Push, but you know what I mean? She's singing that. Didn't you feel the anointing when she was singing that song? Did you feel it? It's my wife, so some of you need to say that a little bit. She was crushing it today, right? So as she's up there singing that song, and anybody that's up there, and you feel at times, you're like, I really felt the Spirit during that song. Oh my gosh, I got goosebumps. And I'm kind of like, these are things that I've said to myself, and I'm kind of like, but I got goosebumps when I listened to songs that were not Christian. I got goosebumps another time. Just because you get goosebumps just sitting listening to something doesn't mean even the Holy Spirit is even right there. If I listen to something now, maybe from past, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say to you, right? You feel that power that's there. It's more than goosebumps. It's more than that. And it's more than cameos. Did you see the Spirit on that song? And Steve was singing that song today. Did you feel the Spirit move? Did you feel the Spirit move when Pastor Linda got up and she prayed? Did you feel the Spirit when the preacher was at 10 and he was yelling and everybody was amped up? But what about needing the Spirit when you have issues in your marriage? What about that job that you don't know whether or not you should take it? What about your child who seems kind of lost and seems kind of confused and doesn't want to come to church and doesn't want to have a relationship with God? I'm talking about leaning on the Spirit in everything, in all things, at all times, and realizing again, and I know you're like, man, you keep saying it. That's what a preacher does sometimes in some messages, trying to drive it home. He is a real person that lives on the inside of us. We have the power of God flowing through our veins. You may look at it and go, you know, always hear the question, would you rather have lived with Jesus? Would you rather be with Jesus today? Or would you rather have the Holy Spirit? And at first, if you've never asked yourself that question, somebody says you could be with Jesus. Jesus could be with you. Or you could have the Holy Spirit. You better take the Holy Spirit, because everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit can come with you. You leave this place, He can come with you. Jesus can only be in one place at all times, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Why do you think He said, hey, disciples, you're going to go here, go wait in the upper room, and you're going to wait, and I'm going to give you the promise of the Spirit. You're going to wait there, and I'm going to send down my love. I'm going to send down my life, and it's going to invade your lives, and then you're going to invade other lives, and you're going to turn the world upside down. Asia Minor, you better watch out, because what I'm going to do is throw down my Spirit and I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. God, I love that. It's more than a 911 call. It's more than I'm in a crisis. Can I close with a story now before some of you fall asleep? Can I close with, you know what the church used to call the Holy Spirit? They used to call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Can I tell us a story about how the Holy Ghost came into the world? When you look at, I mean, even, where's my little Bible? When you even start out, though, I'm going off script a little bit here. I'm going off script. But you look at the beginning of the Bible, and this is what it says. You open up, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And listen to this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Who's playing the keyboard? Somebody can come up right now, please. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Before the foundations of the world, there was the Trinity. You had the Father, you had the Son, and you had the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? We're going to get to see that scene one day, and we get to watch on video of creation. And then what did God say? God said, let there be light. God didn't say, hey, does anybody have a flashlight? Does anybody have something I can use? I don't know. Do you have something I can use to light this whole place up? God didn't say that. God said, let there be light. And everything that He needed for light to do just came at that very moment. It came. What He needed just came and hopped on the scene. And there is the Holy Spirit governing and moving things and creating things, and the land and the sea and all the creatures that are teeming in the sea. All these things that were created. And the Holy Spirit is there. Wait till I give you a fuller picture of that next week. But then you look, here's my story. And if you don't find this cool, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. There's a story in Exodus, and the story is in Exodus 32. I'm sorry Jack's not here. Jack would love this story. Jack probably knows this story. Maybe he does. I don't know if he's seen the connection. Moses is the leader of the nation of Israel. How many of you know the name? You know who Moses was, right? He's the leader of the nation of Israel. And he goes up one day, simplifying the story, he goes up one day and he meets with God. Goes up on the mountain, right? And what does God give him? He meets with God and he gives him ten commandments. He gives him the law. Charlton Heston, right? Okay? Gives him the law. Goes up on the mountain. He comes down the mountain. And what are the people doing? Having a party. They're worshiping other gods. And Moses is so angry. He takes the tablets. He takes the law. And he breaks it. You people, what's wrong with you? He comes down from the mountain. He sees all this. And look what it says in Exodus 32. Look what it says. 27, and then he said to them, this is what Moses speaking, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. Did I read that wrong? It's kind of a random. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. God of judgment. I like the God, you know, some of the God of, and he loves us. Oh, can I have that God? This God? This is, right? This is kind of crazy. And it seems so random. But then you go to the New Testament. Ready? Here it is. Stay with me. And you go to Pentecost. And by the way, Pentecost means 50. And I'm going to go over some words and try to eradicate some of the ridiculous, I don't know, things that people say and what they don't know. They're just illiterate, biblically illiterate when it comes to things and understanding the history of the children of Israel, our history. Anyway, you go to Acts 2. Look at this. This is when the Spirit is poured out. Look at the first four verses here. Look what it says. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Now, who is this? This is the disciples. Jesus said, wait. Go wait for the promise, the Spirit. I'm going to send the Spirit in the world. And there they are. They're in a room. They're in the upper room. And here they are in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Oh my gosh, how packed that is. But we don't have time for that right now. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? This is the birth of the church right here. Birth of the church. Peter stands up and he preaches like he's never preached before. He is unschooled. This is the same guy when Christ is going to be crucified, denies him three times. You remember that? That's the same Peter, but he preaches with such power and such anointing. This is what it says in 38 to 41. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Can I just stop there for a second? Did you hear what that said? That this promise is for you. Go around the room. It is for me and it is for you and it's for your children and it's for their children and it's for all time. There's not an expiration date on this. This is for everyone. This is wherever you are. This is the promise of the Spirit and those that were afar off. I was afar off and guess what? So were you. So were you. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted. I love that verse. You know why? Because it means he spoke for a long time. That's a preacher's, one of their favorite verses. I like that. He spoke for a long time. Yeah, Petey, get him. And exhorted them saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then look at this. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And about, did you see that number in Exodus? 3,000? Oh, if you were somebody that was an Israelite, you would have known the Old Testament story of Moses with the children of Israel when 3,000 people were killed. I'm here to tell you, in Acts 2, when the Spirit was poured out and the church was born, God had an announcement to make for all time. He said a new reality has set in, and about 3,000 people came in because he was unleashing his love and he was unleashing his power and he was pouring it out on all these people. And he said, it's not just for you, it's for everybody. It was a new day that was dawning, a new day in the history of the world. And the world will never be the same again from this announcement. He sent his Spirit down. He lives inside of us. Don't you ever say he's an it. Don't refer to him as some nebulous force in the universe. He is real and he has all the power that we need for our lives. Whatever you're going through this morning, listen to me. Realize who lives inside of you. Realize that it's his power, not your power, not by your might, not by your power, but by his Spirit. I have to remind myself constantly, and I'm going through situations and the devil's trying to hit me here and he's punching me, and then I fight back and I realize, devil, do you know that I have been sealed with the blood from Calvary? Do you know that his life is living on the inside of me? How dare you come at me with these accusations? How dare you start speaking lies to me? I am a child of the King, and when I walk out of here, when you talk to somebody and want to bring them the gospel, you're bringing God, you're bringing the Spirit with you. Have the faith to know who is directing you, who is with you as you walk each step. He's a light unto your path. He's a lamp unto your feet. His word, he wants to have a relationship. Do you understand me? I've been talking more to the Holy Spirit than I ever have. I'm so thankful that I have to preach this topic. It's overdue. But I'm just talking and having that relationship. And I'm saying, I'm so sorry, Holy Spirit, for the times that I've neglected you. For the times that I look to my own energy and said, you know what? I can do it myself. Can't do anything ourselves. If you want more power, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, I ask that you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I told you, I'm going slow today. We're gonna build. This is a building. We're gonna go look at some contract. We're gonna look at stuff. We're gonna look at the gifts. And I'm telling you how the gifts are for today. We're gonna look at 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. We're gonna look at things, and I'm gonna give you a biblical understanding. What the Bible says about what is ours, what is our inheritance today, and what much of the church, I'm sorry, about 65 to 70% of the church just misses. They miss. But when there's a crisis or a tragedy or something and they're looking for power, we can be a people that live in this world and have real power. It doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience hardship, but we can have real power. And the Holy Spirit offers us that. So I ask that you would come back. Lord, I ask that what we're starting here today, Lord, this is just kindling, going on the fire. But I ask for next week, Lord, that you would continue to intensify and continue to speak to hearts, and you continue to speak to minds, and you continue to keep us open and pliable and flexible to what you want to do. Father, I come against any preconceived ideas about what the Bible would say about the Holy Spirit. I come against the weirdness that maybe people have seen that is unbiblical, unverifiable. Lord, we come against that. We want the real deal. We want the real McCoy in City on a Hill Community Church. We want reality here. We want your power to move among us. Show off your glory. May you get all the glory, Lord, for what you're going to do in our midst. Father, we're asking you to do exceedingly abundantly above even what we've asked here today, what I've asked as the speaker. But prepare hearts this week, Lord. I ask we come against the enemy that would try to steal, kill, and destroy your word and who you are, that you, Holy Spirit, that you are a person, that you are a living reality in our lives. May it be. Amen. Worship team, please close us in a song.
Thanks for listening to City on a Hill's podcast. For more resources, visit us at chccny.com.